And now I'm joined by Peaks.com senior writer Jeff Rabjohns. Jeff, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing well, and a very busy weekend from your front, an Indiana front. First, we'll start with football, a tough battle they embarked on traveling up to Wisconsin against the fourth-ranked team, a tough loss, 59-7. I know you weren't there, but what were your reactions? What did you take out of that game?
Well, I think one of the things about Wisconsin is that they're really built, the way they're structured, I should say, is really difficult for Indiana to handle, and that being the incredible amount of size on the offensive and defensive line. That's one area where Indiana just doesn't have the bulk, doesn't have the older players. It just doesn't have that. And you can't simulate that in practice. You can't all of a sudden go out and find 300-pound guys to put on the scout team. And it's tough to play against that. And they really kind of got run over a little bit. It wasn't 83-20 like last year. It was more like a reasonable one-sided football game. Indiana's just got a ways to go on the offensive line and defensive line. They're playing young guys. Guys are going to have to take some time to get older. I don't think anybody expected them to, go up there and really have a chance to compete and win the game. I took away that they just really struggled. I mean, in a lot of different areas, they really, really struggled. And, still seeing guys in stages of development, but not really seeing that development really come into fruition yet in some areas this season.
What do you make of the quarterback situation? I mean, every game we keep seeing really a quarterback shuffle. If you had to rank them, who do you believe should get the start, and should there be a carousel like we've seen throughout the season?
Well, I think Ed Wright Baker is the most equipped right now, both physically, grasp of the offense, mentally, psychologically, even to take some of the hits and just kind of slough it off, go on to the next play. Okay, what can we do now? What's the call now? I think Ed Wright Baker is the guy. Dusty Keel, I think, obviously would be number two. When healthy, he's not, so that's a question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I get confused by all the shuffling. And you can make a case that, Ed Wright Baker, his first year as a starter, there's going to be some mistakes. So you play him through the mistakes. You put up with some inconsistent play because you need development. You can make that case, and that's a reasonable case to make. But we see Ed Wright Baker for a little bit. Then we see Trey Roberson for a series or maybe two. It's just kind of a very unsettled situation. I don't see exactly how an offense is going to develop any kind of consistency when there's not consistency at the position of the guy who's running the show.
We've seen so many players leave this team, both a lot of walk-ons and scholarship players. Would you say that this is just part of the business, part of the nature of a new coaching staff or a new system, or is this really something that IU should be worried about?
I think at this point right now, 2 months, a little 2 months plus into a new coach, the numbers we're seeing, to me, it doesn't set off alarms just yet, just by the sheer numbers. You look at what happened, I think, when Steve Spurrier took over South Carolina, there were a number of scholarship guys left, a few ranked scholarship guys, if I'm recalling the correct situation. There have been other situations where guys have left, and sometimes the guys just don't fit, either from a personality standpoint, they don't fit with the new coach, or from a scheme standpoint, they just don't fit. Some coaches need big offensive linemen. Some people need pass blocking and mobility. Sometimes guys don't fit. Now, if it turns into, this continues in the offseason and we see a significant number of players leave, then certainly that would be a much bigger question to deal with. But I don't think it's a major problem right now, again, just because of the number of players that you see leaving or transferring, or in some cases just deciding, they're not going to play football anymore.
Talking with Jeff Rabjohns of Peaks.com, let's now transition into basketball. Hoosier Estero was Saturday night, both there. And would you agree that this had to be one of the best productions IU as a whole had put on, 16,000 strong fans, not even for a game?
Yeah, there's no question. That was a really well-done event overall, top to bottom. 16,100 people. Really nice introductions. A little short scrimmage for the women's team to kick it off. Really nice introductions for the men. You know, guys getting introduced, coming out of smoke-filled tunnels. Dunk contest, three-point contest. Derek Elston out there hitting shots from half court. and then a fairly nice scrimmage. It wasn't, you know, they weren't going 100% out there, but, you know, it gave people a chance to see guys in the positions that they're going to play, chance to see Cody Zeller in his Indiana uniform. I thought it was really well done, and certainly it was, part of it was for the fans, and no small part of it was for the recruits who were there in attendance as well.
You can hit on that. I cannot. What was the visitors' feel for what happened this weekend? And obviously, it was a show marketed towards them.
Yeah, there's no question. You know, they had their whole 2012, number one ranked 2012 recruiting class was there. Yogi Ferrell, Ron Patterson, Jeremy Hollowell, Hanna Perea, and Peter Jurkin. Point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, and center as you go down through that list. Talked to several of them after the event was over, and they left campus, and they were really excited. They're really, really excited. I can't remember which one. I believe it was Ron Patterson who told me, "Can't wait for the movement to make the move down to Bloomington." The movement, obviously, I think most people know, is the nickname by which the all those recruits who committed within that 8-month span have taken to calling themselves. So it certainly went very well from that standpoint. Gary Harris obviously is on his official visit. You know, we won't know for a little bit until his official visit ends to get his thoughts. And, you know, he's not going to have any big grandiose statements. Anyway, you know, he has two more official visits left, Kentucky and Michigan State. He's going to take those, then make his decision. But overall, from an experience for recruits, Hoosier Hysteria was very well done from the recruits I talked to.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Talking with Peaks.com senior writer Jeff Rabjohns, I was sort of impressed what we saw out of the scrimmage. Occasionally, you know, maybe treated like a dunk contest to sort of show off, but I feel like the guys really took it serious. And the two guys I was most impressed with was obviously Cody Zeller, Jordan Halls, and maybe Will Sheehy.
Yeah, I would say those three guys played well. I thought Victor Oladipo also played well also. I thought Victor was really good at attacking the rim. I think he showed some of the aggressiveness and scoring ability that we saw in July when we watched him in the Indy Pro-Am in Indianapolis. Cody Zeller just looks really good when he's running the secondary break, filling that lane. When I was watching him, it was almost like I closed my eyes and I can remember, okay, Tyler Zeller, you know, middle of the three Mr. Basketball Zellers, looked an awful lot like this, and he was a freshman at North Carolina. You know, just the way he runs, gets in there, moves with his head up, eye to the ball, hand out, ready to make a catch and make a play. I think his impact is going to be far more than his points and rebounds. I really do. I like the way he's starting to play. I think he's going to be more productive offensively, certainly. I like the way he's gotten stronger. I like the way he's got a little more base to his body. I think his jumper is just a little more fluid, a little more squared up. I think that'll certainly help moving forward.
Talking with Jeff Rabjohns, and finally, let you get out of here. How much does the Maurice Creek injury hurt him? Do you think he can recover from it? And I guess, where do you see this team fitting in the Big Ten, even though it's so early to tell?
I don't think the Maurice Creek situation hurts them all that much as a team, only because there was a slight chance he was going to redshirt this year. It was only a slight chance, but there still was that chance as he recovered from his knee injury. So they were really kind of building the team. They weren't forgetting about Maurice, but there was much more of an emphasis on who's going to be ready to start the season, and getting those guys, you know, really ready to go and be productive offensively and defensively. So I think Mo is going to be much more of a guy who is going to come along, later in the season, maybe in December, and start to show some spark. So I don't think it's really going to hurt the team that much just from a preparation standpoint. Now, certainly, had he actually gotten healthy and started to resemble the player who scored 31 points against Kentucky as a freshman, even started to resemble that, that certainly helps you in Big Ten play. No question about it. As far as where they finish, having seen them work out a little bit, and having seen some of Cody Zeller's development, I just think some of these projections, 9th, 10th, certainly 11th in the Big Ten, are just way too low. I think the hopes of NCAA tournament might be a little premature, maybe. I don't know. We'll see in January or February. But I think they have a chance to push for middle of the pack. I think they're going to have a winning record. And I think, if everybody stays healthy, that they've got a chance to make February pretty interesting. I don't know if they're going to have a chance to get to 20 victories. That'll depend upon, who's healthy in January and February. But I do think they're going to be better. I think you're looking at teams that will make several jumps up in the Big Ten, finish much more toward the middle than the bottom. And I think you'll see an awful lot of development out of Cody Zeller during the season.
Jeff Rabjohns, appreciate your time. And I know we're all looking forward to this basketball season.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really interesting year. You look at Indiana and you just look at the pieces, and they're very intriguing. Zeller, the freshman, is intriguing. The development of guys like Christian Watford, Victor Oladipo, Will Sheehy, Jordan Holmes, and some other guys. It's really interesting to see, okay, how much better are they going to be individually? How much better do they sort of fit together? How is the defense going to improve? Certainly that was a question last year. One of the reasons their foul ratio was so high. And then you look at the Big Ten, and, there were some teams that had some losses. There's some teams that still have an incredible amount of strength, Ohio State and some others. But it's always interesting to me when you're sitting in October, Midnight Madness time, Hoosier Hysteria time, starting looking at teams and conferences, and there are more questions than answers. And I think right now we've got more questions than answers, and that's going to make it really interesting as the season moves forward, as we start trying to figure out who can really do what individually on each team, which team can really put it together. And then, as we get toward Christmas and Big Ten play starts, all right, who's really going to have a chance to make a push to move up, and who's struggling and sliding down in the Big Ten standings. I just think it's really going to be a really interesting season.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. You certainly joined a full-time coverage of Indiana sports at the right time, I'd say. Thanks very much, Jeff.
Take care, guys. Anytime.